Dina Morton, and she is going to share with us today a life-changing lesson that she learned a couple years back through an exercise, and it was so powerful and so profound for so many people. We just felt compelled to share it with you today. So, hi, Dina, how are you?
I'm doing great, Lonnie, thanks.
So, Dina, what is it that you hope that the end user who's listening today will get out of listening to this?
What I hope for the end user is that it would be simple, effortless, easy, and something fun that they can use in any area of their life, and that they would create results beyond their wildest dreams.
That's really good. Okay, let's travel back in time.
Okay.
Okay, we're at a seminar, Scottsdale, Arizona, and you're about to do an exercise. Okay. And is it okay if I give a little background on the exercise?
Yeah, because you were the facilitator.
I was the
facilitator. So that you set it up, and
yep.
That would be great.
Okay. So basically, what we were doing is we sent a group of people out into public, and the assignment was this. We basically took away everything that they had as far as material possessions, like no watches, no rings, no wallet, no money, no phones, no nothing. And we sent the people out in small groups of four and five. And their objective was to make $1,000 in 4 hours as a group, okay? And it was a really powerful exercise, and we had just learned a whole bunch of really amazing principles from Bob Proctor, and it was an opportunity to take those principles and put them into practical application and put them into use in an exercise. So, Dina, we gave the exercise, you know, it's go time. What happens? Tell me what happens first.
Well, the first thing that happened, just listening to you share the rules, especially considering we weren't able to contact anybody that we knew. I mean, it was just without anything, no car, no nothing. The first thing that happened is everybody really, you know, for me personally, I got backed up like, oh my gosh, how is this even possible? And so kind of my autopilot of everyday life started running me immediately. And I had to stop and interrupt my patterns, like my patterns, my habitual behavior, any thought that was traveling through my mind at the time of how I couldn't do it. I realized there's no way that somebody would set this exercise up unless it were possible. So if it weren't impossible, what would be my next step?
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to overcome the fear, the doubt, the worry, the just everything. I had to overcome so much that ran my life before and stop and pause and then come together as a team with these people that were virtually strangers that I knew for a day or two. And I thought, you know what, that we must have learned how to do this in the last couple days. If we just take what we learned in the last couple days and put it into action, we might be able to pull this off.
Okay, so what happened next? So you get the assignment, you know, what happens?
So our team got together and we decided, as all the other teams were scrambling and I was watching them, they were all scrambling and running around and getting kind of chaotic. Our team stopped and we all held hands and we said, what have we learned? What have we learned in the last 2 days that we can put into action right now? And that's where we started discovering these four principles.
Okay, so you got together and tell me about the get together. You know, what was said? What was the feeling like? What were you guys experiencing in that moment?
Well, for whatever reason, all of us, there was a certain amount of synergy, I guess, or connectedness, or we just all agreed that we needed to pause and be in alignment with one another. And then it was from there that each of us, I don't even know who started it, to be honest with you, but somebody said, okay, well, we've learned that we need a clear goal. We have to be clear. We have to visualize this $1,000 being handed to us in our hand. And so all of us collectively saw the receiving of the $1,000. We saw it happening in our mind because your mind thinks in pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So we visualized that. And we knew that we needed to be clear that no matter what, this was going to happen. The end result was we were going to finish the exercise. We weren't worried about what anybody else was doing, how they were doing it, and we didn't worry about how we were going to accomplish it. We just needed to know the clear goal was we were coming back as a team with $1,000 no matter what. And we saw it happening. We were very clear. And once we all got clear on it, we went to the next step. And it was, okay, what did we learn next?
Mm-hmm.
And somebody said, we have to be others-focused. We have to be you know, focusing on what someone else's needs. We have to help someone else get what they want. And so we need, you know, so once we put the clear goal on the shelf, we have to be others focused, leaving the impression of increase. In other words, go out to be a contributor in life, find out what someone else needs and help them get it, which mm-hmm. kind of didn't make sense. We were like, okay, but that's what we learned.
Right.
And then, so we all visualized someone's life changing. We didn't know what for, we didn't know how, we just figured if we were going to be others focused, we were going to make a major contribution somehow, some way, with nothing, just with what we had in our mind mm-hmm. and our heart, and that we were going to do something that was going to be unbelievable and change somebody's life, including our own. And so we visualized that. We all got in alignment with that, and we made an agreement that that's what we were going to do no matter what, be others focused. We weren't going to worry about what we were going to get,
mm-hmm.
how we were going to get it. We were only going to be concerned about, are we giving enough? Are we giving enough?
Mm-hmm. Okay, then what?
Then the next thing that happened after we all got in alignment with that and we agreed with that was we went on to, okay, what else do we learn? And it was gratitude. Gratitude for everything and anything that happened. So no matter what was going on, in what direction, if we took a wrong step and it created a roadblock for us and we couldn't go any further, we would be grateful for what we learned from the experience and we would turn and take another step in a different direction. And so it was gratitude for each other, gratitude for the opportunity to learn this, gratitude for every experience, no matter if it was the wrong road or the right road that was leading to the path mm-hmm. of the end result. And we also learned that gratitude connects you to a source of abundance, and that so long as you can keep focusing on what you have and what's working, basically the glass half full instead of half empty, that it would continue to draw you in the right direction.
That's great.
And then once we agreed on gratitude, we were grateful for the end result, we were grateful for all the experiences, we went on to unwavering faith. We knew that what we had learned, if we had a clear goal, that we could focus on contribution and focus on others, be grateful for every experience, that basically we just needed to fasten our safety belts and it was just a matter of time before it happened. And that's where the unwavering faith comes in, is we weren't allowed to doubt the process, no matter what it looked like. Even though maybe we thought it was going to look one way and it started to adjust to look another way, we weren't allowed to doubt the process, that we realized that faith, unwavering faith, took away any worry, doubt, or fear. So that, and we also made an agreement that if anybody got focused on themselves, went out of gratitude, or started to worry, doubt, or fear what we were doing, that we would hip check each other, basically tap on each, we didn't literally hip check each other, but we would tap each other's knee or hand to remind each other, hey, you're out of alignment with what we said we were going to do. And so it was always just a gentle reminder, like, hey, stay with the program here. We know that we just have to act in faith right now and know that these wouldn't be taught if they didn't work.
Got it. Okay, so you have this grounding session. Paint the picture. You step out of the seminar room, you leave the hotel. What happens first when you step outside into the world to start this exercise?
We just walked out on a main street. We all agreed that we were just going to walk out on the street where there was cars because we didn't have a vehicle and we felt compelled to go somewhere. And we weren't sure where. We thought we were going to go to a mall where there were people because that just seemed like an obvious answer. And what ended up happening was more ridiculous.
What happened?
So we hopped across Scottsdale Boulevard in Scottsdale, Arizona, and we were on a main road there. It was a 5-6 lane road.
Very busy road.
Very, very busy road. And we were on the corner and we just started waving at cars and waving
them
down.
Wasn't it night too? It was
early evening. It was still light outside.
Okay.
You know, early evening. And so we just started waving down cars and all these beautiful cars were driving by, Mercedes and really nice trucks and all this stuff. And everybody was like either rolling their eyes, looking at us like we're crazy because here's all these people dressed up in, you know, business casual, waving,
right.
You know, five people going, stop, let us in. And we were literally approaching people saying, hey, do you mind giving us a ride? And most people were pretty afraid to do that. And then all of a sudden, this van pulled up that was like a 1976 van, complete beater. I'll never forget, it was navy blue. One guy was driving it. And we said, hey, do you mind giving us a ride? And he goes, where are you going? And we go, we don't know, where are you going? And we said, we're going wherever you're going. Where are you going? And so the funny thing is for whatever reason, the guy let us in his car, and we were sitting on paint buckets, 5-gallon paint buckets, no safety belts. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm a mother, and I'm in somebody's car that I don't know, and they're driving me, and I don't have a safety belt on. So I was all, you know, I was like, it's
so
okay.
There weren't any seats? You're sitting on paint buckets?
No, there was only one chair in the whole van, and we were sitting in the back of the van, and we were sitting on wooden sawhorses and paint buckets and on the floor.
Wow.
And we just hopped in, and we were like, so where are you going? And he goes, I'm actually on my way to the post office to mail a package to my wife. And we just started creating a connection with him. You know, we ditched the idea of going to the mall for some reason. We all made eye contact in agreement that we were on the right path. And we just started asking him questions. What are your dreams? What are your goals? What do you want? Where's your wife? Why are you mailing or something? And we just started creating a relationship with him. Because that second step was others focused. So we just made this amazing connection with him, and he was even kind of surprised. Like, yeah, there was a couple times where he laughed. He goes, I don't know if I should feel really uncomfortable or excited. Like, number one, I've never had anybody ask me these kinds of questions, and they're really intriguing, and I'm enjoying them. But at the same time, you're four or five strangers in my car, and I'm kind of scared. And we were like, so are we. We were actually kind of scared, too, you know, and excited. And I don't know. We just forgot about everything and just got really into him.
Mm-hmm.
And continued to ask him questions. We landed at the post office. He walked into the post office, and lo and behold, he had forgotten the address to where he was mailing the package. And he came out and he said, do you guys mind if I smoke a cigarette? I'm actually kind of nervous right now, and I can't believe that I forgot the address. Like, I actually left work and came a different route today. I've never driven down this road to go home before. For some reason, I decided to go this route, and there you were, and I picked you up, and I forgot the address to mail this package. And so we said, sure, go ahead and take your time, you know, do whatever you need to do. And it was at that point we were sitting around, and somebody had the guts to say, so do you trust us? And he said, in a funny way, yeah. And I think it was actually one of the women that we were with us, and she said, how much money do you have? I thought, it might not be the right question to ask. And he said, what? And she said, well, do you trust us? And he said, yes, in a funny way. And she said, well, would you trust us if we said we needed to borrow $1,000 from you tonight and we'll give it back to you at the end of the night? And he said, I don't know.
This was at the post office?
Yes, this was at the post office. We just kind of came out and asked him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I have actually been saving some money to get my wife from North Carolina to Phoenix for the last 6 months I've been working. And I have $1,200 in a shoebox at my house. But that's all the money I have. I don't have any more than that. That's it. I don't have any in the bank. I don't have any more than that. That's all I have. And he said, why do you want it? And we said, we can't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to act in faith and trust and believe that we're going to give it back to you. And he goes, well, I'm going to have to think about it. And so at that point, I kind of reassured him and just said, hey, let's just keep on going. Where's your house at? And are we going to your house or where are we going, Perry? And he goes, well, we'd go back to my place. And you know, along with the exercise, we had to come back with have eaten dinner.
Yep.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. Part of the exercise was that you had to bring back $1,000 and have had a really good dinner that somebody else paid for.
Yeah. So I asked him, what do you got at your house? Because I thought, you know, maybe we could eat some macaroni and cheese or, you know, whatever. And he said, I have a steak, a half a bottle of wine, I think some top ramen or a can of soup and something else. It wasn't even enough for one person.
Mm-hmm.
And so we ended up going back to his house, and he happened to have a really old computer that had internet access. And it was at that point that I said, Perry, let me show you who we are. And so I knew because of you and I's success, Lanny, that we were on the internet and that he could look us up and see that we were a legitimate person. And so I used the internet to give him background on us, to show him that we weren't just like crooks out on the street mm-hmm. trying to rob him. And that
would you show him like the Entrepreneur Magazine stuff or something like that?
Yeah, I showed him the Entrepreneur Magazine and, you know, our success story. And I just, you know, started talking to him about this program that we were, you know, the team that I was with started talking to him about the program that we were in mm-hmm. and that how it's helped us and the results that we've created and that we were going to help him with his dream. And his dream was to buy a house. Mm-hmm. And so we were going to, we had a $2,000 pack and we were going to give him one of them mm-hmm. as interest on the money that we were going to loan. He was going to loan us. So we were already talking about giving him interest before he even gave us the money. In other words, we were trying to create more value so that he eventually had no reason to say no.
Got it. Okay. So then what happens? What else happened at the house there? Anything else that was funny?
Oh, we just all hung out. He took a shower because he had just gotten home from work, and we just waited for him. We just kept creating a relationship with him and building value of why, you know, this was such a spectacular idea. And he said, I'm not sure if I'm going to give you the money, but can you guys turn your backs? And I'm going to get it. And so we all turned around and didn't watch him where it was hidden, and he got the money. And I said, do you mind bringing the two extra $100 as well, because we need to eat dinner and we'll pay you back? And he said, yeah, I think so. So he did. He put the money in his pocket, and he said, okay, I've got it, and let's go to the next place. And so we said, well, where do you want to go, Perry, for dinner, because we're all going together. And we took off, and we went to Pita Jungle. Mm-hmm. And we had the most amazing dinner in the world. I mean, it's just great. It was really all about creating relationship and connecting again with somebody. And, you know, and we just really showed him what kind of contribution we could make to him in his life. And we were serious about it. We told him we would pay him interest on his money, and we were going to give him an SGR pack that was a $2,000 pack. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was it. We didn't really do any convincing. I think that's what was so amazing about it is, you know, yeah, we asked for what we needed a couple times. However, that wasn't the main focus. Mm-hmm. We weren't convincing him, selling him, you know, hammering him, like, just please trust us. We weren't doing any kind of selling or convincing. Mm-hmm. We would just drop it in there when
What kind of things were you doing to create value? Like, it sounds like you created a lot of value for him and you're making a contribution. Tell me more about that.
Well, you know what?
Like a dinner.
Okay, well, you know what I saw in him that was different? Have you ever seen somebody in a room where the light bulb goes off for them and they go, oh, I got it? Mm-hmm. Or you turn their dreamers on mm-hmm. when they've been asleep for a long time and they just have this look on their face. Like, what happened with him is he was hopeless. Mm-hmm. And by the end of dinner, he had hope and possibility.
Wow.
Like we helped him turn his dreams alive. We fueled the fire in his heart. We, you know, rather than it being a small flicker, it turned into an inferno and a strong desire that he wanted to go after we helped him believe that anything's possible. Mm-hmm. And so it was more intangible. It was an intangible thing, but it was, you could see it, you could hear it, you could feel it. And I think that's what was so cool about it was unspoken words mm-hmm. that you knew was happening. You know, it's just an experience that you have a hard time describing, like chocolate, what it tastes like. Mm-hmm. It's not something that you can describe. It's something that you have to be there to experience.
That's really good.
And then from dinner, you know, because we were on a limited time, we said, you know, hey, we got to take off now. And do you mind giving us a ride back to where you picked us up at? But we need to go to the hotel across the street. And he said, yeah, and it was about, I don't know, maybe 8 minutes to the deadline of the
exercise,
yeah. Okay. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, we don't have this done yet. We have 8 minutes. And we got out of the car, and I happened to be sitting in the front seat because I made a pretty decent connection with him. I talked to him a lot about his wife and his family. And how bad they wanted to be together. And when we got out of the car, he walked up to me specifically. So it almost makes me cry when I think about it. He reached in his pocket and he said, are you sure you're going to give this back to me? And I said, yeah, I promise, plus a lot more, remember? And he said, how do I know for sure? And I said, I don't have anything to give you. You're just going to have to trust me. And I said, all I can tell you is did you experience something totally different and unique tonight that you've never experienced before? And he says, yes. And I said, then you just have to have faith and trust me. And I'll be back. I'm going to sit you in a certain place. We're going to leave you our phone number, our email, and our information and where we live and everything. And I said, I promise I'll give you back your money. I'm not going to take your last money that's going to bring your family home to you. I'm going to give you more than you ever dreamed of.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, okay, if you promise. And I said, I promise.
And
he handed me the $1,000 just like we visualized it.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
So we went into the room, and he stayed outside of the room. And will you tell that part?
Well, I'll pick it up from here because I'll give you the view from the facilitator. At this point in the exercise, we had all the different groups come in the room, and there were many groups, and we went group by group to hear the story of what happened. And there's always a mixed bag of experiences in this exercise. And when it came to Dina's group, Joe, Jay, the rest of the people in the group, what you guys shared was just, it was amazing because you guys had taken this exercise to a whole other level. You'd gone out and literally changed somebody's life. I mean,
yeah.
There was so much, you made an impact. It was amazing.
Well, it was funny because people were really focused on getting the money.
Mm-hmm.
And so some people were giving hugs to get money. Some people were trading time for money.
Yep.
Some people were, it was all about getting the money.
Yep.
It was all about getting something and conquering and beating everybody. And it wasn't to us, it wasn't a contest or a game, a competition.
No.
We didn't
yep.
turn it into a competition. It was about what have we learned, what can we put into practice, and how can we focus on changing our life, because
mm-hmm.
this is what this is all about, where,
yep.
So
you guys told the story to the entire class of how you got the money, and it was just, it blew everybody away.
There were people in tears.
Oh, yeah, I was crying. I mean, it was to think what's possible in 4 hours with nothing, to create something out of nothing and go out and actually change somebody's life, just blew everybody away. And then I had somebody come up, one of the people who was kind of the assistants, was on staff for that class, came up to me and whispered to me and said, hey, the guy you're talking about's outside. And I said, oh my God, you're kidding me. I said, go get him, bring him in. And when try to say this without getting emotional. When he came in the room, the entire place went nuts. He got a standing ovation. The pride on his face, what he looked like, how he was radiating. It was probably one of the coolest moments. I don't know how many people have ever gotten a standing ovation in their lifetime, but I knew it was his first, I can tell you that.
Yeah, for sure.
And, for a guy that, is living out of an old beater truck, saving every penny to get his wife and, is it kids or how many kids?
Two kids.
His wife and two kids back to Phoenix so they could all be together. To watch him and come in the room and then hear the story from his perspective, we're like, Perry, you gotta tell us the story from your side. Because, as bizarre it is from this side, it's got to be even weirder on your side and way cool. And he described how he was feeling that day, and he described kind of the state of his life. And he painted a pretty grim picture. I remember that. And then he painted the picture of how, in the course of that 4 hours that you guys were with him, how everything changed, and now he had hope, and that he believed his dreams could come true. I mean, it was just incredible what could happen in the span of 4 hours.
One of the things that he shared was he had prayed the night before. He was so hopeless. He was so far away from getting his family to Arizona, and he was starting to lose hope that it would happen, and he asked that God would just give him a break. And he said, and then there you guys were on the side of the road.
So
and
funny.
He said, it was like you guys were that break that I needed to tell me to keep going. Like I was going to make it.
Mm-hmm. So we were so moved. I remember in that experience, we were so moved by what happened. I remember You guys gave him a $2,000 SGR briefcase.
Yep, we gave him $430 interest on the money, so mm-hmm. he had $1,630 by the end of the night, plus a $2,000 SGR pack.
Yep.
That would he could use the principles that we used with him to go get his dreams.
Yep. And then I also remember that night, Bob Proctor was going to be in Los Angeles the Thursday after that. It was like the following day, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, Bob was going to be in L.A., and we all decided to fly him to L.A. to meet Bob
mm-hmm.
and to go to the event in L.A. So,
yep.
And he did.
Yep.
He went to L.A., and he sat in the front row, and do you remember him carrying his briefcase into the meeting?
Oh, he was so proud. I felt guilty because I had one, and I thought, wow. How ungrateful I must be for such a priceless gift. You know, he carried it like it was a briefcase full of $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so proud of it. You know, mm-hmm. one of the things that I remember too, Lanny, is don't forget about that one team that brought $18,000 back. They brought $18,000 and they thought they had won.
Yeah,
remember?
That's funny because, yeah, Dina and her group had told their story about what they had created and how they'd changed this guy's life. The group directly after them brought back $18,000 in 4 hours, and when they talked about it, nobody was impressed because the whole value of it was diminished because there was zero contribution involved with it.
Yeah, there was no value
there was
created.
There was no life change, no nothing, so it really wasn't about the money.
Yeah.
Which
and then
was really wild.
The other thing that was cool about the gentleman who kind of made it all happen, he actually said, although we have $18,000, I feel like we brought back nothing.
Mm.
And he goes, it's nothing compared to that. I think we missed the whole boat. I was after the win. I wanted to beat everybody.
Yeah.
And I wanted to bring home more, better, different. And he said, I don't even feel good about what we did.
So let's talk about the four principles. Number one, clear goal.
Okay, well, let's talk about the four principles and the areas you can use them in first,
okay.
And then we'll break them down. Is that cool?
That sounds fine, yeah.
Okay, awesome. So the cool thing about this is you can use the four principles going after business goals. You can use it in your relationship. You can use it for small things. You can use it on vacation with your family. You can use it for big monster goals. So, and you can use it to create better leadership within yourself. So it's about developing yourself, and you can use it in any area of your life, and that's what's so cool about it, and that's what I love about it.
So it's not just about the cash?
No.
Okay.
So, you know, like, for example, you and I have used it when we're on a vacation before, with our wedding. With our wedding, we use
this. Oh, my God, that's perfect
okay,
example.
So, you know, we were like, what do we want to create? What are the, you know, what is the environment that we want to create? And we described the environment to each other, and that was a clear goal. And then we focused on other people. We focused on each other and the guest. We were grateful for the whole experience, and we had unwavering faith that not only would we experience that, but everyone else would, because of that's what we chose to do.
For
we've
sure.
used it on vacation, and
mm-hmm.
I've used it in my business a million times. I always use it with real important things. I always use this because I know it's a surefire way of achieving.
It's a no-fail formula.
It's a no-fail formula.
Got it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So, clear goal.
All right, number one, clear goal.
So, having a clear goal, there's something about it, especially if you're in any sort of a leadership position, whether it's at your home or in business, or volunteer work or whatever it is, it's important that you know where you're headed. It's important that you know where you're going. And there's something that happens when you're clear on where you're headed. It happens in your being. So you're more confident. You have a stronger conviction in your tone of voice. It's easier for people to follow. I've seen a lot of people go after goals, and I'm like, hey, what's your goal? And they're like, well, I'm not sure. And I'm like, well, no wonder why people are having trouble following you, because you're not sure. And if you're not sure, how could they ever be sure?
Mm-hmm.
So part of the thing of having a clear goal is great, you know, leadership, as well as getting your own self calm. So it's critical that you're clear on where you're going. And then once you get crystal clear, see it happening. Some people call it screen of the mind. They see it in their mind. Maybe you write it down. Maybe you get a picture of it. You know, whatever it is, but put it in on something. You know, write it down. Have it in your pocket. Put it on your vision board or your binder or whatever works for you. And just know that that's it. That's the end result. That's the only thing that's going to happen, no matter what.
Okay.
Doing a business deal with, you're asking them questions. You're not the one talking. You're the one asking questions. In other words, you're in my circle right now, and what is in my basket that you need? And the only way I can discover that is by asking you enough questions.
Mm-hmm.
And then I let you have whatever you want. If you just need a friendly smile, you need a hug, you need great words of wisdom and advice, you need advice on maybe a book to read or a class to take, a person that I can give you their phone number that will help you get further down your journey. So every person that I come into contact with throughout my day, I see as an opportunity to give them a contribution. And I now here's the key, though. I'm not giving to get something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm freely giving, and there's a difference in being others focused. See, a lot of people go, well, I'm giving this person this, but I'm not getting it back from them.
Which means your motive is off.
Your motive is for you. And I mm-hmm. already said, put your clear goal on the shelf. Don't worry about how you're going to get it. Don't go out to get, go out to give. And giving freely, here's the coolest thing about giving freely. When that's a person you become. So, you know, there's a difference in giving to get. But there's a law that says basically when you whatever you put out comes back to you tenfold.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start controlling the return and how it should come back to you, you start limiting the abundance that can come back your way and the opportunities. And you close it's like pinching a hose when the water's coming out. You restrict the flow.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you just decide I'm going to be this kind of person and that's what I do because that's who I am, there's a big difference. There's a big shift that happens. And then you are open to receiving whatever form comes back to you in whatever way it comes back to you. And it generally comes back in bigger and better and beyond your wildest dreams.
Mm.
And it's generally not from the person that you contributed to or even the three that you just did. It sometimes comes back in a lot of different ways. So let's just say money is a goal for somebody. Well, a lot of people think that compensation is just the form of a paycheck. Well, what if compensation is part of an education as a result of being around somebody? What if an education, you know, what if compensation is learning how to support somebody better? You know, so there's all kinds of ways of being compensated. And so it's important that you understand these things so that as they come back to you, that's where it comes back to gratitude. Now we're on the third step.
Okay. Go with gratitude then. Number three, gratitude.
All right. So gratitude, I see this so often with people that I've coached, or I see the frustration well up in people and they miss this step. It's such an important step. They're only grateful if it happens their way, rather than gratitude for everything. In all things, be grateful. So gratitude for everything, that means every experience or situation or circumstance that didn't even go your way. And here's why you can be grateful. Let's just say you take a step in the wrong direction and it leads you to a roadblock on your goal. Well, be grateful that you found the roadblock so you can turn right and go the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
And what's, you know, one of the things that Bob Proctor taught me that I absolutely love, and evidently Michael Beckwith taught him this. So we'll give credit to Michael Beckwith, and I don't know where he learned it from, is when a situation happens, so an event happens in your life, and you don't assign meaning to it. It's just an event happens in your life. It is what it is, and you can't change it. It's already happened.
Mm-hmm.
What you can do with the event is you can harvest the good from it. You can take the lessons from it. You can take the experience from it. You can take all this stuff. There's always something good in everything. If you wait long enough, you'll learn. Sometimes it doesn't always come right away. So you harvest the good from it, and you take the good from it. And I kind of think of it as like what are those colanders, and you pour orange juice through it, and the pulp stays in the colander, mm-hmm. but the orange juice goes into the glass. So mm-hmm. that's kind of what you're going to do. You know, your event is a jar of orange juice, and you're putting it through a colander, and what's left in the colander is all the things that you need to forgive, and what's left in the orange juice glass at the bottom is all the juice that you need to drink and bring forward. So an event happens, It is what it is. You can't change it. You have to accept it. You harvest the good from it, and you forgive all the rest, and you let it go. And so as you're on your journey to your clear goal, no matter what the situation circumstance is, there's so much good in it all that you can be grateful for each and every experience, no matter what. Because generally, this is what I've learned with everything that you and I have created together, even our relationship, is it doesn't always go your way. As a matter of fact, probably 98.9% of the time it doesn't go your way. And it's probably a big blessing that it didn't, because you probably would have I probably would have messed it up anyway. So mm-hmm. Be grateful that you're, you know, walking in faith like that.
Okay, so point number four in the four principles is unwavering faith.
I think this is the most important thing, because when you're really going after what you want, small things is like, you know, a vacation, to big things in business and relationships, worry, doubt, and fear. I was just talking to you about a question I read yesterday. What good has worrying ever done? And the answer is nothing. And so when you're in worry, doubt, and fear, it's an immediate trigger to put you back into unwavering faith. Because when your brain can't think of two things at one time, it can't be in faith and gratitude at the same time it's in
worry, doubt,
and fear.
For sure.
You can't do both. And so you get to make a choice, which one do you want to be in? When you have unwavering faith, then the only outcome is the end result. Now, it might not be in the time that you wanted. It might not be in the 4 hours that you set. You might have set the wrong the wrong date mm-hmm. with a goal. You might need to extend the date. But you do everything you can up until that date. Let's just say I have a date for June 30th of this year to achieve something. Well, if I give it all that I've got, I do not change the date no matter what until June 30th at midnight, going at it as hard and good as I can, doing everything I can. At June 30th at midnight, if I didn't hit the goal, I just set a new date. Mm-hmm. And I never changed a date. And I never, like, just think if I would have decided to go in worry, doubt, and fear at 8 minutes till the time that exercise was up and I decided it wasn't going to happen.
It wouldn't happen.
It wouldn't happen. So you always go down to the wire. Always mm-hmm. go down to the wire with everything. And you just know that you know that you know it's going to happen. So unwavering faith is a critical part of it, because, again, there's a strong conviction, especially in leadership with this. Now, let's just say you hop out of gratitude and you're thinking of what's not going right. Well, then you go back. This is what's cool about the four principles. You go back. Where am I headed? Okay, that's my clear goal. You remind yourself of what's the clear goal. You get it in your mind. Right, now what do I need to do? You go back to others' focus. I need to go help more people get what they want. Then you stay in a state of gratitude, and then you have unwavering faith. So anytime you step out of, let's just say you're focused on what you're going to get, you're out of others' focus, you go back to the top, clear goal. You remind mm-hmm. yourself of where you're headed. You go back to being focused on other people, asking them questions, allowing them to have whatever they need from you, being grateful for every experience, and having unwavering faith that you'll get there no matter what. And I guarantee you, you know, if you don't hit the number one spot, almost always you'll hit the number two, but it's just a matter of time before you get it. And I think that's what's so amazing. You're really working with the laws at that point, and you're in alignment with it, and there's just no way to fail. There's no way to fail unless you worry, doubt, and fear it out of your life. Mm. I mean, let me just say one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
The cool thing about worry, doubt, and fear, this is what I always tell people, and unwavering faith. The cool thing about unwavering faith, okay? When you're in unwavering faith, you're like a magnet to your goal. It pulls. There's a like a magnetic pull. It pulls you closer, faster, stronger, shorter. It takes less time to get there. When you go to worry, doubt, and fear, you're pushing your goal further away. So if you want to take a long time to get to your goal, just stay with an ungrateful attitude, worrying about what you're going to get and how you're going to get it, when it's going to come to you, and start worrying about when you're going to get there. It's gonna be a long, hard, painful road. Now, if you're others focused, you're in a state of gratitude, and you have unwavering faith that you're gonna get it, you're pulling it closer to you faster, harder, stronger. And here's what I've learned about this. Generally, when I get to the goal, almost always now, it's always been bigger and better than I ever imagined it to be. it's always more than what I thought it would be. And I think it's working with these principles, working with the laws, and allowing the return to come in whatever form. At the time that I get there, it's always beyond my wildest dreams. And I think that's what I love about it the most, is that it almost brings me to my knees crying because it's bigger and better than I ever imagined it, because I trust the process. When I don't trust the process and I control everything myself, it's generally very disappointing when I get there.
That's good. One of the cool things I heard you say is that when you have worry, doubt, and fear, these four principles are almost like a reset button. It's like you hit the